Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. I'll briefly go through the announcements. I'm filling in for Pastor Reyes tonight. He's in California. He's at First Works Baptist Church. So he's preaching in Anaheim for Pastor Bruce Mejia today. Their church is on a soul-winning missions trip to Belize. And so Pastor Cobb will be preaching this evening. So our Sunday morning service is at 10:30, our Sunday evening service is at 4:30, and then our Wednesday evening service is at 5:30. Today's soul-winning outing was great. We got 24 people saved in all, 24 new souls saved, so that brings our count to 436 for the year. Praise God for that. If you would, grab your red hymnal and turn to page 2. We're going to be on page 2 in the red hymnal. We'll sing Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. Page 2 in the red hymnal.
I cried to my heart, was the blood of Christ. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Dear to my heart, was the blood of Christ. I am so wondrous to save and sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
Alas,
come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. To my heart was the blood of God.
Great singing, everyone. Great singing. Turn in your red hymnal to page 379. Bringing in the Sheaves. Page 379. And then after that, we'll have Pastor Cobb come up and read for us. We're going to be in Genesis 19. Page 379, Bringing in the Sheaves.
Kindness. I'm a green pig. I sing, bring in the sea. blowing in the shadows, neither clouds nor I am the harvest, and the labor ended. He shall come rejoicing in the sea, 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 in the sea. Sowing for the master, now spirit of the king. He will bid us welcome, voicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Out there already, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 19. We're going to be reading from the first verse up through verse 28. So Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, 1 through 28 is where we're going to be reading. Alrighty, Dad. Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis 19, verse 1. The Bible reads, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, so that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for gathering us here this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, we pray that you soften our hearts and give us ears to hear so that we may receive this message and apply it to our lives and become more effective servants for you. Lord, please fill Pastor Cobb with your Holy Spirit and allow him to preach with boldness and clarity from your pulpit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just need to plug in. Grab this.
Thank you, sir.
You're most welcome.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for being here this evening, and we appreciate Brother for reading the scripture for us, and we're going to try to break some of this down for you. I've entitled our message, A Fiery End. We actually have about four that I'll be mentioning. But our story begins February 28th, 1983. Most of you probably wouldn't remember what happened there, but it was on TV for several days. You heard about the Waco massacre or the Waco debacle. It's called a number of things, but it happened February 28th, 1983. It actually began the story. Janet Reno, anybody remember her? She was the Attorney General of the United States under President Bill Clinton. She gave orders to attack a group called the Branch Davidians. David Koresh was the leader of that cult. But she gave the orders to for the FBI to go in and do what they had to do. Think of it, they did what they ought not to have done. They went in shooting with guns in the so-called compound out here in Waco, Texas, where the Branch Davidians were operating. The Branch Davidians, they called themselves, was a split off the Seventh-day Adventist. But the government was on them, and they didn't like them, and anyway, they came in on them with guns on that date in February. And a lot of the FBI agents were killed. Naturally, that made the government alarmed over what had happened. So the next thing that happened was on the news. The world observed what was going on in Waco. A lot of the Davidians were holed up in the compound, and they refused to come out. Any of y'all remember any of that? Any of you perhaps old enough to remember being on watching television, seeing it? All right, we got at least a couple here that would remember it. But the Waco, matter of fact, it got to be showing on TV all the time, and everybody was expecting to hear the news about the what was going on in Waco. Well, naturally, that made our government look weak or bad, so the ultimate way was they attacked the Davidians. And the Davidians hold themselves up and were not willing to come out. We all made fun about it in those days. We said, do you know what Waco stands for? We ain't coming out. Basically, that's what they said. 51 days, they battled each other, and it came down to a showdown. A shootout, and everybody saw it in horror as flames engulfed and burned all those people up. Burned up a bunch of children when that happened. And everybody just gripped themselves as they looked, as it unfolded, as those people that were dying. That was about 82, I think, they said that died. 82 people. But they came to a fire end. But the Waco event took the lives of 82 people who weren't coming back. And they were burned to death by whoever went into the compound. We don't know for sure all the names and what have you of the people that did that were guilty, but they were. Well, fast forward now 2 years to the day. And by the way, today, April the 19th, is the anniversary of the shooting in Waco. It's also the anniversary of the shooting in Oklahoma. My only sister sat at her desk where she worked in Oklahoma City, when all of a sudden, she said, the whole world sounded like it was coming to an end. Because of the chain of events in Waco, a man by the name of I can't even think of his name right now, but Terry, anybody want to help me? Timothy McVeigh, and the other guy was Terry that helped build up. Okay, well, I've got it written on my other notes. Thank you so much. But my only sister sat there when the storm cloud fell out. Actually, they blew the place up. Timothy McVeigh and his buddy Terry Nichols got together and made a huge bomb. And they set it in the door of the Alfred Murrow Federal Building. And he set it off. And it killed 160 some odd people. That happened 2 years exactly at 9 o'clock in the morning, April the 19th, 1983. They were literally executed by the feds. Were they? Well, we don't know. That's an argument. Y'all put a little check mark by that I said it, but it was a question mark on it. So we don't know for sure exactly what happened, do we? But we do know that it happened. And we do know that Timothy McVeigh was put to death in 2001 because of what he had done. He was executed by the feds. Naturally, I talked to yesterday in here in the building, my niece and her husband came and we met them here. We hadn't seen them in about 10 years. And they came down from Oklahoma City, Yukon, Oklahoma. Those of you that were here the other day when our missionary was here, where they came from, my sister, it was her daughter, my sister was the one sitting at the desk next to the Oklahoma building when it was blown up. But I want us to fast forward to the city that our brother just read to us about in Genesis 19, about Sodom and Gomorrah. And we've all heard the stories about them for years and read the scriptures. How that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He literally burned them up. Now we ask the question, the scripture says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he also knows where sin leads. Sin grows and grows and grows. It had inundated the people, sin had. And be as plain as the scripture is, homosexuality had crept in and had destroyed that generation. And God had all he could take. And folk, when God gets all he can take, you're in trouble. And the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were in trouble. They were wicked. But again, let me remind you, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, does he? But if we ponder and look over what happened in Waco and Oklahoma, we think about those innocent children. And I want to focus on that a moment. So you'll one of my main thrusts here. Those innocent children had done nothing to deserve what they got. Somewhere or another, there was a breakdown. I can tell you where it was. The breakdown was with the parents that didn't take care of the children or didn't watch over or teach them. And a lot of those children, we assume, especially if they rejected Christ, we know that they didn't make it to heaven. And they're going to be where they're at for an eternity. It broke my mind. Christ, and I've had for, well, I've stood here for 50 years basically trying to proclaim Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And we've challenged the people over the period of time to for their parents to take care of their children and raise them up in the right way. Because if we don't, they're going to die and go to hell. But folks, we don't want that. The good thing about it, children that die before the age of accountability don't go to hell. God's washed their sins away. You can say what you want, but that's a fact. But I want to read to you about another fiery furnace. And if you turn to one scripture or two scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 3. Get you right here, y'all. Excuse me a second. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. We can stop right there. The day of the Lord will come. It's going to come. Period. The day of the Lord shall. But it's going to come as a thief in the night. People are not looking for it. And folks, I got to tell you, I thank the Lord for you folks that go out and went out today and soul winning, and not only today, but yesterday. And you've saved people from that awful pit or that awful place that we're reading about in the scripture. Let me finish. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And with the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Folks, I just read and said the earth, the people that are there are going to be burned up. Is that what y'all believe? You better, because it's going to happen. We've got the future recorded already in the scripture, because folks, what God said is going to be. Whether you like it or not, he's not going to change his plan for you and me. I get amazed at people who think that they're in control when we're not in control. We were listening to the news back here a moment ago, and they were talking about all the stormy weather that is brewing out there, and they put across the screen that a truck driver was killed today by lightning. Say what you want. God knew where the lightning was coming. And there the guy sat when lightning hit him. I didn't do that. God did. God knows what's going to be unfolded down the way. Someone told me they got a little child they're going to name Josiah. Back here, Brother Kevin's. He got to boast a little bit, don't blame him, but he's going to have a little boy pretty quick. And he's going to name him Josiah. You know what was great about Josiah? What the Lord said, how great a man of God he was. He's one of the few that you don't read any negative part about. 8 years old when he began to reign as a king. And God took him. At 38, he reigned 30 years. The Lord said he took him so he wouldn't have to see the judgment that was coming on that nation. But he went to a better place. But when you leave this old earth, you graduate. You go to the place that we're all looking forward to, where our loved ones, you know, I'll share this with you a little bit. I remember what happened here at Waco in 83, and the reason I remembered, my son, who was a member of this church, stood behind this very stand here, but he died in 1983. He was down at, on the Gulf down here at Surfside, working for me that night, July the 28th of 83. And a guy comes along with a looking for a ride. My son was on the beach there. He and another fellow they were training. And my son lay there. Man came off the street running from the laws. And he sees my son on the sleep on a sleeping bag. And he takes a club. Takes my son's life. At the time, who had a wife and two little kids, I would say two-year-old boy. And folks, if you're a parent, you don't overcome that tonight. Y'all forgive me for sharing it with you, but that's my privilege. Consequently, my grandson is had to be raised by whoever while he was growing up. He's a member of the church here. He doesn't come as often as he should, but he's a member. But my son stood here and gave parts on Sunday evening, especially we had a course called Baptist Training Course. And he came and took part and was active. Let me get to my closing remarks. All right. I read the scripture. And the scripture tells me there's a lot of people going to be saved. You can be one of them if you trust the same Lord that I have. And that's what he would have for you is turn to him and be saved. I read a while back about a guy that was a Baptist. And he was talking to an atheist. And the atheist kind of scolded him. He said, "Fellas, if I believe like you do, if somebody's going to spend hell in eternity," he said, "I'd be down on my, if I believed that," he said, "I'd be down on my knees crawling and telling everyone I met to trust the Lord Jesus Christ." And folk, they got it right on. And I thank the Lord. I appreciate so much what this church is doing now is soul winning. That's the business of the church. That's why the Lord set the church up, was to win souls. And folk, you're proving it. You're proof of it. Over the 63 years that I've been pastoring, I've knocked on doors and visited with people. And we didn't call it soul winning, but in essence, that's what it was. We weren't as successful. And the reason being, I guess we thought we had to baptize all of them. I said, I thought that. But thank the Lord, baptism's not going to save you, is it? It's for saved people. It's people that's already trusted the Lord. If you want your life fulfilled and to do what God wants you to do, you'll be baptized after you trust the Lord Jesus. But folks, that's my thoughts to you this evening. We don't want anybody to have a fiery end, do we? For that reason, yesterday there were 28 souls saved to the folks that went from here. And today there's 24 more. Isn't that wonderful? Now, some of them may never walk the doors of the church. I don't know. We don't know that either, do you? But thank the Lord they're on the right start. Thank the Lord for you that's willing to have doors slammed in your face and hear a lot of unkindly remarks. And folk, I've been there. You can hear it. Pastor Enrique and I were out down off of Gessner one day knocking on doors, and There's a guy, an Oriental fellow, Pastor Enrique, tried to tell him about the Lord, and the guy, he said, I don't care where I go. We had to let him go. But it's a choice that a person makes. And folks, you're making a choice one way or another. Because when it comes to the Lord, you can't be neutral. You're for me or against me, he said. So I challenge you this evening to include the Lord in your life or whatever you do, because he's there. May God bless you and add to the blessing. Brother's going to come lead us in a song. We'll stand together. Go ahead, brother. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
This one. Thank you. All right. A great sermon, Pastor Cobb. Please turn in your red hymnal to page 66, At Calvary. Page 66, At Calvary. Page 66 in your red hymnal.
You are dismissed.